Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working in...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everybody. Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden here. Truth straight up for Party Friday.
Party Friday.
It comes quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, a lot going on today. We've got Patrick Neville coming
Dave Williams.
Dave Williams talking about the letter, sort of the SOS, sending out an SOS to the White House. And then at 3:30, Denver time, we're going to be talking with investigative columnist Michael Tao. You know, he keeps doing, and I think it's so important, these deep dives into the panic porn that the mainstream media is putting out there about the coronavirus. You know, keep in mind, the riots, coronavirus, all of those things are all connected together. Also, before we get into Patrick, I want to remind you, the show is sponsored in part by ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
Great article this time on all the counties and sheriffs that will not enforce the mandate like Washington County and Weld County.
The mask mandate.
Mask mandate for the governor. So it's a great article to check out so you know which counties and they will not enforce it.
That's right. We've got Patrick Neville then with us, State Representative Patrick Neville for the
TV
Weekly.
TV star
for the Weekly Minority Report. Hey, Patrick, thank you for your time again this afternoon. Whoop, is he with us? Yeah. Hey, Patrick, can you hear us? Maybe.
Yeah, I got you. You guys hear me?
Yeah,
yep,
we
got you now.
Sorry. So, hey, let me first kind of jump into somewhat.
No, let's talk about his TV appearance.
I know, but I want to ask him this, but got to give those guys a cue to get that ready.
Oh,
you know, there was supposed to be another riot, essentially, at the state capitol today with the people saying, hey, you want to try to clean it up? You want to put up fences? You want to try to clean up the homeless camps?
That's the police rally.
We'll show you about that. What are you hearing on that?
Well, we're hearing lots of different stuff. We were hearing that initially they were going to go after the governor's mansion. I mean, I was actually texting some folks.
The old Betcher mansion? That'd be good.
And they had a huge encampment out there. But mysteriously, that encampment, it just disappeared overnight.
Oh,
so, I mean, to tell me these guys aren't organized, that's really strange. I mean, how does this thing just disappear overnight? Like, the entire group just disappears. They weren't forced out. There was no police presence making them move out. They just disappeared. I mean, they had a full kitchen set up and everything there, from what I'm told, and they just moved out. So what we're hearing is at 5 o'clock, there's going to be some big stuff happening with the goal to basically go after the Capitol. And I've even heard stories of that, oh, well, their goal is to take over the Capitol and set it on fire.
There you go.
Like, well, they've done that. It's not like they haven't done that in other places.
Yeah, that's nothing new for those guys.
Yeah. But we have, oh, that's
the
governor.
Presence from cars
the governor
control.
Calling in.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry, Patrick, go ahead.
I think there is a big presence there tonight from Colorado State Patrol. Probably one of the largest ones, if not the largest presence that we have there. So they're ready. They're kind of expecting it. Very concerning. I've heard reports of there are rocks staged throughout strategically, like piles of like small boulders, basically. And what they've done in the past is they basically use like water balloon launchers.
Mm-hmm.
And they start hucking these boulders. That's how they kind of broke that really thick glass in all the doors.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
so it has the extreme potential to get very, very dangerous tonight.
According to the mayor, Polis says that, the state patrol can now enforce the law, but this mayor and Denver safety manager say that the Colorado State Patrol has to undergo de-escalation training by them first.
Yeah. Not the rioters.
Not the rioters.
Not the guys with the catapults, but the police officers, so they can de-escalate as they get hit by a rock. I mean, it's great stuff.
What do you think of that?
Oh, it's insanity. I mean, what we faced on Sunday, right? We were all there.
Right.
You know, I remember turning around, and, like, we got totally surrounded and swarmed, and people were throwing stuff at us from the back and different sides and spraying stuff at us, and, like, you don't know what to expect, and that's an awful situation to be in, and that's the situation you're putting your state patrol members in, and then you're saying on top of that, oh, you can't actually arrest and detain these folks.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
It's, It's ridiculous. Let me see, hey, if our guys at PBS, if we could play, we cut a clip of your, because we were like, hooray, it's Patrick Neville.
TV star.
Patrick Neville. So there was some operator error, I have to say, in sending them the clip. So hopefully we have it. But guys at PBS, if you could roll that clip, the Tucker Carlson one now, that would be great.
With Antifa attacked a pro-police rally, Back the Blue, in Denver, Colorado. Colorado State Representative Patrick Neville spoke at the rally. He joins us tonight. Michelle, thanks so much for coming on. I read your pre-interview and it made my heart beat fast. I don't know if we have enough time for you to go through the whole thing, but give us the kind of summary of what you experienced this weekend at this rally.
Well, essentially, we went up there and knowing that it would be dangerous, we actually had some volunteers accompany us from a local gun shop, DCF Guns, in my district, myself and Michelle Malkin. And we were essentially surrounded by Antifa. I mean, we're talking outnumbered 4-1. We were actually lower in elevation than them, the way the facility worked out. And we were completely surrounded. And then before I know it, we were on stage. Well, behind us, one of my friends was beaten down by 4-5 Antifa members. The folks that we had there volunteering had to kick those folks off of him. And then eventually we had to actually evacuate. And had it not been, quite frankly, for someone who I'd met moments before ushering us into her car, I don't know if we would have gotten out of there unscathed. I mean, in the meantime, we were pushed around. We were spit on. We had things thrown at us. Michelle Malkin lost one of her shoes. My friend was severely beaten, had a black eye after it was done. We didn't have a single chance to speak. I mean, the band barely started even playing. And all this occurred right on the stage of the facility where we were supposed to be having our rally. It wasn't like it was a minor scuffle on the outskirts of the rally. It was right there on the stage.
You're a lawmaker. I mean, what country is this? And more to the point, where were the police? Why wasn't someone protecting you?
And that is the concern. I mean, I'm the House Republican leader in Colorado, the House Minority Leader. And so if it can happen to me and they can prevent me from speaking, they can really do this to anyone. And so it's really concerning because I think the order probably came up to stand down. We had the police union chief out there actually saying there was a stand down order. I don't know if that came from the mayor or even the governor, but we've had a serious problem with complete lawlessness here in Denver. And to the point where you can't even show up to what should be a family-friendly Back the Blue rally, a properly permitted rally, and we were just totally attacked by thugs committing total violence to try to silence our speech.
You have media outlets in Denver. It's a big city. Did this get any coverage, the violence against you?
No, in fact, actually the opposite happened. We had a local anchor here, Kyle Clark, who was tweeting out and basically making fun of the situation and even said there was bonus points for those people who can identify me.
Got to get the best quote you have. Said, you know, this is the most dangerous I've been since I was in combat duty in Iraq. I think that made a bit of a point.
Yeah, I definitely did. And it's the honest to God truth. I mean, I brought some guys down there, like I said, because I knew it was going to be somewhat possibly dangerous. And just, I was more expecting danger kind of to and from the car, kind of that stuff. I just wasn't expecting to be totally overwhelmed like we were at the rally itself. I mean, it was kind of like just getting from where we parked over to the rally. They were kind of, you know, I saw some folks out there saying, that's them there, go get them. That kind of made me nervous. It was like, once we got to the rally and, you know, we saw you guys and saw some other folks, it was, okay, we're safe for now. We're safe for now. And that didn't last long.
No,
we got there like 10 minutes before it started. And you know, next thing you know, we're totally surrounded.
For anybody,
you know, they're very strategic. People need to know this about this. The way they actually attack you, they're very strategic. What they basically do is they'll send like three people to start yelling at you in your face, typically females too, and they'll do all the yelling. And then there's some guy that's going to come behind you or to the side of you or just out of nowhere and sucker punch you.
Right.
Or some folks got tased.
Yeah.
I mean, the best analogy I probably heard about is they almost act like hyenas, you know, attacking a lion.
That's a good analogy.
That's a good analogy.
The minute the lion kind of goes after one of the hyenas, they all kind of pounce, and that's what happened to my friend. I mean, I turned around, I was watching, you know, you guys and Michelle right there at the stage, kind of, you know, watching back, and next thing I know, I look around, my friend's just getting stomped on by like four guys, and he was just trying to help someone else out, quite frankly.
And, you know, the other thing.
He was just trying to keep security on the stage. Just making sure people couldn't like jump through the stage.
And what they do is, and as you said, it's very strategic. And people, you know, when you watch these videos, you know, use critical thinking. The woman who punched me, right? So she punches me and she's screaming the entire time, get your hands off me, get your hands off me, get your hands off me, right? And there's somebody from her side recording that. And then that's what they play. You know, I have to say, Patrick, we've talked about this. I was shocked at this. Have heard anything more from the national exposure? And thank you for doing this, by the way.
You look good. Yeah, you look good on TV.
Great, number one,
you look good on TV.
But helping to get the word out on a national level?
I mean, yeah, that definitely helped. There's people that have been texting me and calling me and made me voicemails all throughout the country. There's one media station that kind of picked up on it. We'll see that. We might see that tonight. I'll let you guys know more about that. But I think they almost did the report because they were questioning my story on this, didn't happen. Like, are you kidding me? There's still a video for it. Like, I don't have the exact video of like my friend getting beaten down like I'm talking about, but I've got video of him like coming up afterwards and stuff too. And then he doesn't want to tell his whole story because he's afraid about getting doxxed and going after, all the private lives they go after and everything else. But it's one of those weird situations too. When you're in those like situations, I don't know about you guys, but it seems like you can remember every piece of it very vividly. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it happened over like 2 hours.
Yeah.
To watch the video and it's like, that was like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well,
absolutely,
and it does go fast. And
well, we got a call from Father Hugh. Why don't we bring him in and see what words of wisdom he might have. Father Hugh, you there?
Actually, I think I'm in.
All right.
You're in. All
you're
right.
Here with
there
Chuck
you
and
go.
Julie and Patrick.
And I was listening to Pat. I recognized his voice. And,
yeah.
To say that this is stunning to me is the understatement of the millennium. Couple of things. First, are we all agreed that this thing is a coordinated nationwide effort?
Yep.
If you watched
you'd
know.
Next thing. On the opposite end of the spectrum, a little substantive comment, a tile in the mosaic, as I call it. You know how we found out about the Spygate thing?
Right.
It was because Devin, you probably know this, first of all, and most of them I'm going to get on to. Most important thing is, Julie, are you okay?
I'm okay. People are texting me. No. Go ahead.
Yeah. They found out about the Spygate thing because Devin Nunes subpoenaed the bank records of Fusion GPS. And I would recommend that somehow, and of course, from this moron that's our Attorney General, the academic?
Yeah.
Somehow, I would think it might be an offshoot of my thought is somewhere along the line, we need to get a skateboard boy. And when we get his identity, we have Mr. Is it McLaughlin, who was the co-organizer with Mandy? And he was the one that got his skull cracked. Mr. McLaughlin will sue Skateboard Boy.
Well,
and that he's judgment proof. But in the process of discovery, we may find out about who these people. The only solution is to find out who these people are, where the money is coming from.
They're Fortune 500 companies. They're giving Disney. Disney gives millions to Black Lives Matter. Millions.
Right. Well, and Patrick, do you have any sense on where some, like you said, they're organized. Do you have any sense on where their money's coming from? Like these guys who just picked up camp and left last night?
I
keep waiting.
Random group of folks out there that are just trying to, just come out there and speak their mind. That's not the case at all.
Me,
and so that's
sorry,
actually,
speaker.
Actually, to you.
There is a, from what I understand, there are cells of Black Lives or Antifa all over everywhere. And we have one here. And the name of it is, it's a Soros you know, affiliate.
Soros gives to Black Lives Matter, but so does Disney.
So does Disney. Hey, listen,
so
Hugh.
So Fortune 500 companies.
Hugh, we're going to let you go because we only got a couple minutes left with Patrick.
No. First of all, and Patrick is more important. Go, Patrick. And men, Julie. And the more important thing of all, I just got off the phone from Mark Griffiths.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. He must have been thrilled to talk to you. That would be great.
Right.
So
that's
going to happen. And he was much too kind. When his producer told him, he said, "Wow, I've made the big time, Father Hugh."
Father Hugh.
Father Hugh.
Thank you, Hugh. Thank you for spreading your fame around the Metro, radio world. Thank you.
Good job.
So, Patrick, but back on the money thing, do you have any light to shed on that?
No, there's not much out there, and that's why I do think that, you know, that's why I used part of my time on Tucker that I don't think was played. That I actually did call for an investigation. You know, I did make an appeal for the president that I do think we need an investigation into this. I mean, if I had been, you know, instigating these rallies and trying to get folks out there as an elected official and they turned to violence and I, you know, wasn't pushing back on that, there's possible criminal charges that could have been brought on me. No, here we have these folks out there that are doing this. They're instigating these. They're organizing these rallies with the intent of violence, and certainly not stopping the violence. And I think, you know, we need at least to go after those leaders and ping them and find out what's happening. And we've got to put an end to it. I mean, Denver is, you know, I used to think it was a far-fetched idea to move the capital from Denver. I no longer think that. I don't know how a citizen can come there and feel comfortable talking to their legislators and actually testifying on a bill under the current dynamic.
Did you hear Stephen Tubbs' interview with Cory Gardner?
I did not. Not with Cory Gardner, no.
Well, he interviewed him, said, you know, will you promise me that you'll do a, you know, ask for a federal investigation? And he wouldn't do it. So, I think we ought to have a state one. We ought to have Denver one. We ought to have this one. We ought to have, you know, there should be, every law should be obeyed of whatever nature or kind. And they said, well, at least will you talk with the mayor and the governor about all this? And he says, I talk to the mayor and the governor all the time. We get together great, and we're the best, and we all work together for the best of all of Colorado. It was the saddest, most pathetic interview ever, and he clearly made it clear he was not going to ask for a federal investigation. He was going to do nothing.
The only thing I saw was actually his statement on it saying that he was going to call for one.
I did listen to
I think the worst was probably the Chief Pazin interview.
Yes.
He tried comparing it to what the Taste of Colorado and the Taste of Colorado puts around gates and all that. I'm like, if people start getting assaulted at the Taste of Colorado and, like, beat down, like, they're going to respond and put a perimeter there. Like,
what he basically
they're going to actually take care of it. Like,
what he basically said is that you have to apply your own security forces,
and then
your own barricades,
we'll arrest you for that.
Which is basically Berlin 1920. We've got to have our own anti-fascist fascists.
He's basically calling for vigilante justice.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And then
the streets are wide open. Yeah.
And let me, Patrick, because I know you got to get going. Although Chris Story, I want to thank him, has sent some pictures. Apparently, they've taken the fences down at the state capitol, I guess, to make it easier for the rioters to destroy it. Why would you want to take the fences down from the state capitol?
Well, you know.
Do you know, though, it was interesting. The other day, Peter Boyles is doing a good job on this at 710 CanUS, had Ted Trimpa, Democrat strategist, and Dick Wadhams on. And Dick was sort of saying Denver's lost control. Ted was acknowledging that he thinks the city's on the verge in Colorado, the governor, the mayor, on the verge of losing control. I submit they have lost control. I submit that no matter who wins in November, if somebody doesn't start arresting the bad guys in Colorado.
That means you, Julie. That, not, you're going to get arrested.
Right. But I mean,
that's where they're going to arrest the bad guys, Patrick, me, and you.
From what I saw Sunday, Patrick, I think it's lost. What do you think?
Yeah, I do think it's lost. They got to make some major changes. And that's what I keep telling them. That's kind of one of the things I actually warn the state patrol on now. Like, I'm getting constituents calling me like crazy throughout the entire state, telling me that, hey, we want to go down there and help protect the Capitol. I'm like, so, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not going to stand up, like, citizens want to start doing that. I'm like, this is not what we want. And that's kind of what Tucker ended up with the main point of that interview is he he's worried about the same thing, that this could get even more violent because people are sick of this happening. They are going to go up and they're going to start doing things and they're, you know, taking things into their own hands. And I think there was a lot of folks that kind of didn't react and kind of, you know, like we kind of stood back and let people assault us and stuff like that because we didn't want to take things into our own hands. But if the police aren't going to be there to protect us, I must admit,
I was not one of those.
We've got to take care of business. And people,
I was
like,
not one of those.
You know, Kyle
back.
Clark and other folks. And
oh, that was great that you got his, oh, that dirtball's name out.
That was kind of funny.
He's like, it's just silly string, right?
No, it's not.
Okay,
and here's
people don't realize, if you ignite silly string, that is dangerous. You throw a lighter in front of that string.
Patrick, but I was getting sprayed on and the cops are getting sprayed on. And here's why because it sounds so innocuous, but when you're kind of in this, people are tossing and all of a sudden something is shooting at your face, right? That's scary. And that's alarming because you don't know what it is. And the same thing for the cops, right? When you've got the cops are there, they're, you know, you know that you've won the combat.
Yeah,
but I mean,
Kyle Clark thought that was hilarious.
Right. But you're
and he got extra points if he could identify you in a picture. That guy should be in jail himself.
Well,
he is what do you mean, well?
Right, but yeah,
he's encouraging rioting.
On the major news station here in Colorado. Yeah. That's the problem. And they don't even get it. I mean, seriously, if you ignite that stuff, you throw a lighter in front of that is extremely dangerous. I didn't realize that until after the rally happened and all that stuff. And I remember going and buying some on July 4th because fireworks are legal, so I wanted to have something fun to do with my kids. And I was shocked when I had to actually, you know, show an ID to buy it. I'm like, why is this?
What? You're kidding.
I'm gonna find out that's why. Because if you you know, kind of like hairspray, if you do that, it actually turns into a very dangerous gel. Yeah. It's almost like a mini napalm that can land on folks.
Right. What about the lawsuit? I mean, you were talking about, you were talking about filing a lawsuit on the mask mandate. Just kind of skipping around here a little bit.
I actually just got a text about this right before I went on with you guys that I haven't been able to respond to. And so, you know, Randy and the folks are looking through that carefully. And I think the most important thing is that we do it right rather than rush it. So, you know, I'll get back to Randy if he's not listening to this right now. I'll probably just give him the answer.
He was texting me, so I don't know.
That's kind of my opinion.
All right.
Well, thanks so much. We always love having you on Party Friday. And great job on national TV. That was wonderful to see you.
Yeah, it was good to see you guys, you know, at least for, like I said, a brief moment of time until all the chaos happened on
all
Sunday.
Right.
So it was
Patrick,
great to
thank
see
you.
You
guys. Thank you. Neville, Representative Patrick Neville, one of the few guys, you know, what cracks me up, Chuck, is you read the stuff in the Denver Post.
Denver Post,
where they're saying, you know, they do stories about the Republicans are saying it's time for a change of leadership in Colorado.
Yeah,
it's like, no, Patrick Neville is the, oh, they want to get a new a minority leader. I'm like,
well,
Patrick Neville, this guy is.
They're going to get one because, you know, the consultant, the Republican consultants want to get paid. And so Anschutz and others apparently aren't giving any more. So they're going to Democrats. And we talked to Ted and others about which Republican consultants are coming to them to get money so they can pay themselves. And they said, we promise we'll get you elected rhinos. And three rhinos were elected. So they're the worst of the rhinos. And Hugh McClain up in Loveland is one. They want a new speaker. And I can tell you, the Republican Party will not last very long.
Well, if it lasts very long at all. We're hoping to get Representative Dave Williams, who sent a letter to the White House, and basically an SOS, saying that here, and we haven't been able to get hold of him. So if Dave is listening, we're trying to get hold of you. Basically saying that Jared Polis isn't doing anything there. Hancock isn't doing anything. Here's what I don't get, Chuck. So Jared Polis says, oh, I can't do anything at the state capitol. That's a Denver law. You're telling me there's no law on the book that says defacing some kind of state property?
Defacing the capitol, you can't do anything about that, right,
Governor? Do anything about that. No, right? Give me a break. Yeah. And then about the homeless camps, too, he's encouraging Denver.
Oh,
I want to remind folks, not that long ago, Denver citizens voted overwhelmingly to say they do not want those kind of encampments, right? So
what does that matter?
Denver voters, exactly.
You vote the wrong way, it's to be ignored.
That's right.
It should be ignored.
And in the meantime, this is incredibly outrageous to me that the governor and the Denver's safety manager, the mayor and the safety manager both say, okay, well, the state patrol will give you the okay to enforce the law.
Bless you, my
after
children.
You go through de-escalation training, which of course we have not scheduled. So I go back to ask yourself, Why are they doing this? Why does the governor, why does the mayor, why do the Democrats want to destroy the state capitol, destroy the parks, have homeless encampments all over the place? And I think it's obvious. They not only do they want to do anything to destroy Trump, it is, I think, out of their control. I think it's bigger than that right now. I think there are
they want to destroy America.
They want to destroy America.
I mean, that sounds, you know, way too dramatic in my own ears to say they want to destroy America. But having been down last Sunday and watching the police stand down as these incredible thugs come after you and the police just sit there, you kind of go, yep, they want to destroy America. They certainly want to destroy anybody who they think doesn't go with their socialist, communist, Marxist one. I mean, it is going to be Berlin 1920s if we fight back. If not, well, it'll just be Moscow 1930. We just hauled off and put in the prisons.
And let's take a look at this. Here's something else you need to consider. There was a report came out about Jeff Bezos, the guy behind Amazon, which is making a killing in this whole pandemic.
Billion in one day.
Yeah. Okay. You've got these major corporations that are funding Black Lives Matter. Yeah. Again, I know this sounds like I'm this crazy conspiracy theorist person, but I believe I'm right here. You have all of these major corporations funding these anarchy organizations, and all of them, they don't care if it's Trump, they don't even care if Biden, they want to destroy, I think. I mean, I used to laugh when you and Peter would say the New World
Order. Destroy, they want to destroy, like Lenin wanted to destroy the Romanov dynasty. He didn't want to destroy it just to destroy it.
No, they want to destroy it and take over.
And then take over, and they've already cheated the system, in case you don't know it, and I have no idea, it's my endless thing, why Republicans in Colorado never figure out why they lost the 2018 election.
With the election system, right. Well,
cheated, and they are not duly, the governor is not a duly elected governor in my mind.
And they want to constantly, you know, they hype, and we'll get Michael Tao on here hopefully in a few minutes too to talk about, that's why they constantly hype the coronavirus cases. You notice no one talks about coronavirus deaths anymore. That's because there aren't any. Well, except for the ones they make up. In Florida, we found out they went to some TV station and just really quick found 8 deaths. One was a gunshot wound to the head.
Right.
I mean, and they're going back in the records now. These are from weeks and weeks ago. These aren't even new cases. Right. But what they're talking about all the time now are just the number of cases, right? Well, of course, cases are going up. That actually is a good thing. No one ever talks about, well, what happens to those people who have the cases, right? Nothing, for the most part, is what happens to them.
But you have to understand, once you have a test and 6 months later you die of a heart attack, it is clearly, they call it a coronavirus death. Forget the...
That'll be 20 years from now.
Yeah, 20 years from now. Dr. Fauci is a fraud. The CDC is a fraud. Dr. Douglas in Tri-County Health's a fraud. Your local elected Democrats are frauds.
And they want to do it.
Your Democrat-appointed judges are frauds. And you live in some kind of third world banana republic in Colorado.
And if you don't think it, just go look down at the state capitol. And again, the end game is, I think, well beyond Democrat and Republicans. I think the Democrats have lost control of their party. And,
no, they haven't. They are the socialist party today. Well, Bernie Sanders is taking over.
I guess what I mean.
Over.
I mean the Ted Trimpas of the Democrat.
The reasonable good guys like Ted Trimpa. Yeah.
Right. Right. It's just, you know, it's incredible. And I think that, again, the end game, they want to make you scared. They want to make you feel nervous. They want to make you say, well, Trump can't handle it, so maybe let's vote for Biden.
Oh, he can handle it. Uh-huh. The cognitive genius. Yeah. I'd like to see him play a chess game.
And it's, you know, and it is such a tricky position because on the one hand, you wish that Donald Trump would just go ahead and say, this whole thing is a freaking fraud and we're going to have the convention and you don't have to wear a mask. And basically, if you're in a high risk category, then maybe take precaution, stay home and don't come. You wish he would say that. I get politically why he can't and why it's hard, and it's a fine line, but it's just insanity. And I think we have, okay, we got Michael Tao with this investigative columnist. Michael, if you want to I keep saying, is that a word? Unmute yourself.
That is a word.
And unmute yourself and turn on your camera.
Video. Video. V-I-D-E-O.
Yeah, then you can bring that up and we'll bring you on. I think he's here somewhere.
He's right in the middle there.
He's right in the middle. Okay, he's coming. He's coming.
He's working on it. And this guy only has an IQ about 150. But
it's a Zoom. So, Michael, unmute yourself and bring your camera up if you can. Okay, while he's doing that, he has another column up, which is interesting too. On he has a columnist for redstate.com. Also, his site is aclearerpicture.net, where you can get all of his columns. But he's got one up about even Breitbart is kind of buying the CNN headlines about Trump and the support among the Black voters. And when I was reading his latest, and saying when you actually look at the numbers, it's not good news. It's not necessarily bad news, but it's not as good.
What's good news? Not good news.
Well, that when you actually read the numbers.
Don't tell me.
I do not
want to hear, and Mr. Negative wants to hear nothing negative. I don't want to hear anything about the numbers. They're not as good as the numbers.
I guess there he is. You have to have critical.
Oh, he's got to try the unmute. Got to get the unmute.
Can you unmute yourself in the left-hand corner? Wait, no, unmute.
Unmute.
In the left-hand corner of the screen. Michael, can you unmute yourself? Hang on. Live podcasting. Wait, you got to unmute yourself. Because people love to hear, because you of all people need to be heard. Can you see the little camera icon? There's a little microphone icon.
You got to scroll down all the way to the bottom.
Uh-oh, wait, he's going to figure it out. Okay. Oh, okay. He can't hear us. Hey, Michael, we can't hear you. Can you turn your microphone on in the bottom left-hand part of the screen there? Do you see that? Can you turn your camera, your microphone on in the left-hand part of the screen? Nope, we're not hearing you.
Dan and Doug, could you instruct
them? Well, they can't really talk to him. Oh, he is unmuted on Zoom. Okay, Michael, it might be your camera there. They said you're unmuted on Zoom, so it might be your laptop, maybe. Is the microphone off? What we're going to do, how about if we do this? How about if we, yeah, it looks like you don't have the right microphone. How about if we do this? We're going to kind of talk about some stuff, and then so we don't keep like having people wait on that. Just bring yourself back up when you figure it out, okay?
Stay
right there when you figure it out. In the meantime, guys, so I did this for Michael's benefit. The guys at PBS, can you roll? This is Dr. Fauci, who is like the guru, the one we're all supposed to be paying attention to and all of that. This is him throwing the pitch yesterday at some baseball game. Can you guys roll that?
And before you do it, but yeah, we've told that Dr. Fauci was this great athlete, point guard. And
basketball
all-star and one of the great And there's him not wearing his mask.
There's him not wearing his mask again. They're still having technical difficulties. This is an operator error. Well, there was, if you haven't seen, I'm going to reenact Dr. Fauci.
Yeah.
That's a sexist, racist kind of.
I got that it's a sexist.
So he knows he's going to be throwing this pitch.
He's been practicing for a month.
On live national TV, right? And so he goes out there, the ESPN guys are like, Dr. Fauci, one of the recognizable fans of baseball. But he throws a pitch, and like, so that's home plate, right? It goes like that.
Every child in America knows how to throw like that, right? Every child ever thrown it is this, and it's that, and it goes about halfway there and way to the left.
And then in the meantime, you could hear the ESPN announcers like they really didn't know what to say because
this is a strike zone.
This is communist ESPN, which hates Trump. And finally, one of the announcers goes, the one said, well, maybe he's been too busy to practice. Like you said, kids could do that. And in the meantime, the other guy just says, I'm speechless.
Well, it misses the plate by a little, you know. All right. Gets about, didn't even roll up there. Didn't even roll to the plate.
All right. We'll try you again, Michael. We still can't hear you. I don't know what the problem is. I think, unmute that if you can. Well,
can you hear me now?
Yay!
Dog is dancing. Dancing dog. Yeah, I forgot. I shut off the permission so they don't spy on me. Who knows?
Oh.
I forgot that I did that.
Well,
I have to remember next time.
What'd you get your PhD in Princeton in? It wasn't electromechanics, right?
Not in visual audio. I should have aged. How are you guys doing?
We're good. How about you? Now my daughter does that too. They all have the little tape over the microphone so people can't spy on you.
Yeah, my old laptop actually had a thing you slid over the camera.
Right.
A physical thing, but this doesn't have it. All right. So I think we're good. Good.
We're good now.
We're good. We're all positive.
So,
now.
You know, like I said, wanted to talk to you
about our favorite friend, Dr. Fauci.
Did you see?
Hold on, I just want to shut the air conditioning down. I can't hear you with the noise.
Okay.
Missouri, I love
my podcast.
Now I'm set.
All right. There we go.
Did you see Dr. Fauci? His pitching is as good as his predicting.
I have an article coming out at 7 where I mentioned that, but also that so one thing somebody on Twitter found, he was wearing a 19 on his jersey, the sick little freak. He had the number 19.
Oh, 19. There
he identifies with the virus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like sick. And the other thing is they found pictures of him afterwards. He's snug between two other high-ranking COVIDian cult members, but he's not wearing a mask, and they are. So I have an article coming out at 7 that I'm finishing up that goes through all
he
of that.
He's dehydrated because, you know,
although he wasn't drinking any water.
You know, he's dehydrated, and he's such a lying jerk.
As if you're dehydrated, somehow you can't get the coronavirus or pass it along either. Well, you know, I wanted to talk to you because here's what's annoying me. In schools in Colorado, you know, about 2 weeks ago, everybody was going to open, right? Because it was safe. The numbers are down. Kids aren't transit. Now, one by one, all of the schools, and they're just the piece, they're like, well, I guess we're gonna have
one day, you know, or maybe two.
We're gonna start on, you know, we're not gonna have in school learning. Something magically happened, and I think it's a teachers union pressured him. But from what you know, because you do the research, is there any reason on God's green earth that kids should not go back to school in the fall?
Yeah, there's tons of data on this, but to me, you only need one fact. The average fatality is 80 years old. What else do you need to know? So instead of isolating old people, Cuomo isolated everybody else and sent people with the virus into nursing. You know, our death rate, people say, oh, it's one of the highest in the world. It's not. If you take New York out, we'd be one of the lowest. Like the big problem we have is not kicking New Jersey and New York out of the union. If we'd done that, we'd have this incredibly low death rate. So no, with the virus, it's 8, that the average fatality is 80 years old. There hasn't been a single case in the world of a student passing it to a teacher in the entire
world. And this is the world.
Well, how old are the teachers? Teachers have these pensions where they're retired, 50 and 55.
Yeah.
The oldest teacher is about 50, and most of them are in their 20s.
This is if you buy, I just tweeted out a guy, Bonchi, one of my colleagues at Red State, he just did an article out of like 700 or 600 deaths. The local news are the only people doing anything. They checked it.
Right.
Only like 170 or 180, something like that, actually died of COVID-19.
Right.
So all the numbers are like BS. But even if you buy them, if you buy all the crap they're telling that the COVIDian cult members are being told, if you buy all of it, still, you got a virus that's like less deadly than the flu for people who aren't old and antecedently ill. There's nothing else you need to say. One of the things that's interesting to me about this is they violated the base. So they say like, oh, there's, you think that, what is it, hydro, whatever, the stuff that's supposed to cure.
Hydrochloroquine.
We're not going to let you take it because it's, even though it's been proven safe for 50 years, but we want more testing. But we're going to inflict untested measures on you that are going to cause suicides, drug addictions, all kinds of problems. That's fine. On a global scale, we can do like untested measures that are going to have all kinds of horrible consequences. But locally, you can't do that for yourself. The whole thing, like they violated the Hippocratic Oath. First, do no harm.
Right.
That's like what they're supposed to. And they need, and I'm saying, this is much worse than the Russian hack. Anything. If they don't go to jail, we're finished. We're a joke. You can't take anything this country seriously in any way.
Well, there was another tweet I saw where somebody was saying, and again, there are two things I think. Number one, you got to consider that they're hyping the cases. And the second thing is what happens if you actually get it? But first I saw a tweet that was funny. It said, oh, we're up to like 4 million cases, something like that. And it said, only 56 million to go before we reach the 2009 levels of swine flu, right? I mean, it's like, this is nowhere. And let's go over.
Oh, you saw my article that in 2018, hospitals were overrun. There's articles. It's all local news. I only made one national news story in Time Magazine. It's pretty much all local news. Texas, California, all over the country's hospitals were overrun with the flu. Never made much worse than COVID. never made national news, and they dealt with it. They set up tents to have extra people. Nobody died because they didn't get medical care.
Well,
this is like an atrocity that's getting to like Hitler kind of stuff. What they
I went to a hospital to get shoulder replacement, and you know they had and there's so many swine flu people in there. They got swine flu, but you know it.
Well,
you know,
it
comes, it goes, and you know, I suppose if I'd had comorbidities or something else, maybe I'd be, or maybe today, but it's all a con. These people are criminals.
And what's really disturbing is we don't have, the data is so messed up, we don't know. It could be like a common cold, it could be like a severe flu, you have no idea. So the CDC has directed physicians, I have an article on my website, several actually, clearpicture.net, explaining this with the link. They've directed physicians to put COVID-19 on death certificates without a test and without any evidence at all, so long as they've assumed that the patient has the disease and it contributed it. They don't even have to assume it caused the death. So that inflates it. Fauci and Birx are proud of the fact, they bragged, that people who die with the disease are going to be categorized as dying from it. That's another thing. Sweden, there's a great Twitter thread on Sweden. So Sweden, they did great. Everything that people are saying, it's like, it's gasoline. But forget even that they did great. Sweden counts anyone who dies 30 days after being diagnosed with the virus. That includes if you died by getting shot in the head or getting hit by a car. Right. Anyone who dies 30 days after being diagnosed with the virus goes on the list. So the one thing we want to know, the only thing that's relevant as to whether any of this is necessary, is how many people would still be alive if they hadn't contracted the virus. That we have no idea. And not just here. Right. And it's like mind-numbing. They're killing people with suicide and drug addiction. Children are getting abused because sexually abused because the only safe haven they have from relatives is school. They can't go to school. They're doing all that. And we don't even care how many lives we save.
I want to correct you in one thing. I spent from 7th grade to 12th grade in a boys prep school. And if you think safe place there is from being sexually assaulted by an adult is a school, you are badly mistaken.
The number of overnight schools relative to day schools. So they're reporting. It's like you Google it, and the press needs to be like held responsible too.
I agree. They're co-conspirators.
All you got to do is Google sexual molestation of children, lockdown. Google drug overdose, lockdown. Google suicides, lockdown. And even Google, who they've changed their algorithms because I'm having a lot of time, more problems finding articles that I know exist.
Yeah,
I've seen something months ago and I can't find it.
Right.
But even with Google's algorithm, you get a lot of stuff. Like you get so there's a guy in California. He said they got in 1 month, they got a year's worth of suicide, a doctor, year's worth of suicide attempts ahead of trauma. So you've got people, they're struggling. They can barely make it. They feel alone and unloved. And Fauci and these people says, we're locking you in your home. And we're going to take away all your companionship. And you drug addicts who are trying to recover that job you threw yourself into every day. Only way to do it. We're taking that away from you. And I, Fauci, Brad Pitt's playing me on TV. I'm loving it. The guy needs to be, I think he needs the death penalty, to be honest. Like, I mean, literally, this is like Pol Pot type stuff.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Well, and
Pol Pot Fauci. I mean,
the other thing about this too is he says like, oh, I'm only concerned with the medical consequences. Well if there's a drug and after you take it, it causes you to act like a chicken, that becomes a medical consequence, right?
Yeah.
Any result of some cure you've foisted on me that's negative, that's a medical consequence. So forget it, the suicide's a drug, that would be a medical consequence anyway. But the economics of it's a medical consequence because it's a result of a prescription of a treatment plan that he's inflicted on us. And he needs to pay. I mean, it's like these people who kill themselves, who are in their homes, like crying, banging their head against the wall, like every day tempted and finally did it, they need to not be forgotten. They need justice. Somebody needs to make sure
that the businesses that have gone under, and you know, and then I agree, the media, is complicit. And also, I just encourage people, you put your thinking caps back on. Use your critical thinking. I mean, I talked to people.
Well, that's the thing. It's what they do is they say, they give them these little facts that don't mean anything. Like, so they'll say, third day in a row, COVID-19 deaths were 1,000. And if they said, we're above 1,000, if they said third day in a row, COVID-19 deaths were less than 1,100, it would sound like it's just meaningless news. It's
right.
But you have like, but it's a lot, this is another thing. It's a lot easier to show that extreme measures like this aren't necessary than to show that they are. It's almost impossible.
Well, how do you like?
All you have to, again, everybody needs to think, anybody who thinks this was justified, 80 years old, that's the average. That age of someone who dies of this. 80 in Sweden, it was, I think, 86. Well, and 75% of the people were nursing home patients, right?
Have you had this where you call somebody up and you start talking to them, and this happened to Julie with her sister, and all of a sudden you realize they're a Davidian branch member?
Right.
And they kind of go, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I mean,
only you guys.
Oh, no, when were you inducted into the class?
Well, that's my thing. You talk.
What I think what everyone needs to do is you need to have like a few small facts. Don't over, like, so what I tell to people is, one, on February 28th, Fauci published an article in the New England Journal of Medicine. You can find it on my website at clearpicture.net, on my Twitter feed, saying that COVID-19 is likely to be akin to a seasonal flu. He doesn't believe this stuff, or his name being on that article, he doesn't even know what anything about the subject. Let's assume he knows what he's talking about. He doesn't believe this stuff. And it even explains why the article, it's incredible. It explains why the death rates we were getting are bogus, essentially. It said, look, there's all these patients, there's selection bias. The tests are going to pick out people with the most severe cases. So it explains that. So I pick that, and I pick two. Average death is 80 years old. Like, I think you need, like, just two facts.
Well, the other thing I like to tell people is that you got to worry, because they go, well, cases are going up. And I'm like, you need to think about what's going to happen to you if you get it. And the odds are extremely high. Nothing will happen to you if you get it.
This is hard to explain to people. The social distancing, the flatten the curve, that was never supposed to lower the number of infections.
Right,
that was supposed to stretch out the amount of time it took for people. So it's impossible. The only way it was supposed to save lives is by stopping hospitals. No one understands. This is like this. Everybody, the media, they need to be punished for not making this clear.
Right.
Everybody heard hospitals overrun. And then somehow they were allowed to think that you're going to save lives. It was never meant to do that. There's going to be the same number of people infected no matter what you do. The virus doesn't suddenly go, we're tired of trying to infect these people. Or let's go to some other planet or kill ourselves. The virus keeps going until it reaches a point, either herd immunity. There's actually a lot of people who think there's other factors that it tips out even earlier.
Right.
But after you've given these two facts, which is no different than being down in Guyana, wherever the branch of it, and they said, you know, that's going to kill you, and there's no reason to kill ourselves. How many of them took the Kool-Aid? All of them! They still take the Kool-Aid.
I think over time, like, one person I know has been, like, has turned a little less.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's now inclined to say, oh, well, it's just me. I don't want to get it. I don't want to get it. But it's hard because I once got conned, and I didn't know what it was. It was an EST meeting. It's this health help thing. In the 70s. And I went, I didn't know what it was. And they make you do this, embarrass yourself. They say, close your eyes in front of several hundred people and pretend you're climbing a strawberry. And if you've done this, you don't want to, and you paid money. I didn't pay. This was an introductory session where they tried to get you to pay. So if you pay the money and you embarrass yourself, you're not saying this was a waste of time. And that's the psychology operating here. People have like suffered. They've made sacrifices. And they don't want to admit that they've been fooled. It's the hardest thing to admit they've been fooled. And the only way you can do it is you got to keep hammering it home. And frankly, like, Trump has, like, totally let us down here. So he's been – okay, he's not as bad as the Democrats. But so this is a political issue. This is like the Russian collusion. That's the divide. The people who believe in Russian collusion are the COVIDian cult members. And our side is in disarray because Trump is like, well, you know, I believe this stuff. I just think we shouldn't go extreme.
Don't worry, we're
no, I agree. I mean, I used to say, I mean, I still kind of think, okay, what's Trump supposed to do? But I think there is some, the economy, I mean, businesses are crashing. They're now, schools can open all of a sudden. Now the unions get hold of it and they don't want, you know, Trump to be reelected. So now schools can't open. They're going to destroy the economy. And Trump needs, this is what I believe, he needs to say anymore, you know what, there is something more important here than not losing the election. I need to win America back. And I think Trump needs to get out there and say,
I'm not sure he cares about winning the election.
I'm not wearing a mask. You don't need to wear a mask. Even if you get coronavirus, you know, 80% of you are going to be just fine.
80, 99%.
Well, I mean, are going to be not even medical attention. I mean,
you know, maybe he doesn't have time, or like he doesn't even do research. Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe Melania, who puts these tweets out with the mask on. Maybe we need to get him away from his family, like get them out of some other country. Sometimes I think he doesn't really wouldn't mind losing. That he's like sick of. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like he's. His heart's not anymore. But he needs to get up there. I read an article. The hardest thing about this lockdown is going to be admitting it accomplished nothing. It's like an enormously long article going, and it's still, I only covered like a fraction of all the lies we've been told. But I hit the major points that social distancing doesn't work. It was never meant to reduce the number of deaths anyway. We know for a fact it didn't save any lives. I hit the major points in there. And in there I said, he needs to get up and say, look, I was taken in too.
Yes.
These people, they sent this expert to me, Fauci. Everybody says he's the greatest guy in the world. He like messed up. And I think Trump really, the other thing is he's supposed to be a germaphobe. I mean, maybe it was the perfect thing to get him with. But whatever
he's just what you said. He bought the fake art. He bought the fake art, spent weeks with Fauci, and so he can't go, I was conned by this old guy and this stupid woman. They totally conned
him. Yeah, what they're going to do is they're going to pin the deaths from like the 160,000 COVID deaths, which is garbage. They're going to pin that on him, and they're going to pin the economy on him too.
Anyway.
And you know, you could say like even by your own thing, like Cuomo, if we take Cuomo out of the picture and we take whatever the idiot from New Jersey is out of the picture.
Murphy.
Like the rest of the country's actually doing great with this thing. That's and then if you take Michigan, Connecticut, and one more state out, this was like total five states, and it's mostly nursing homes. Most of those states forced patients into nursing homes, and most of the deaths are nursing homes. If you take those out, I saw a graph, we barely made to epidemic level. Counterintuitively, the CDC defines it in terms of percentage of deaths. We barely ever crack the epidemic level if you take five states out of the picture with the nursing home deaths. If you put them in, suddenly we're like, epidemic level.
CDC says it's not even a pandemic anymore. And you know, here's another thing too.
The head of the CDC said, I keep forgetting this. Like, it's unbelievable. So there's these articles about we need to close schools, we need to close schools, we need to wear masks. That's what every medical headline. And you read the article, and he's quoted as saying, we're getting more suicide and drug addiction deaths than COVID deaths. The head of the CDC, and I'm reading this, and I'm going, didn't you bury the lead maybe like a little bit here? We're getting this head of the CDC.
Well, here's what
we're getting more drug abuse and suicide deaths than COVID deaths.
And Cuomo's governor, basically, and I know I have a daughter, and they're all upset about this, and I don't blame them. So the governor of Colorado now is blaming drunk young people on spreading.
Young people.
Drunk young people.
Young people to get it. The sooner the young people get it who have no chance of dying from it,
drunk
the sooner
so
it goes away.
He's closing the bars at 10. As if this one young person was saying to me the other day, and she didn't know my politics. She goes like what? Like at 9:59, I'm immune. And all of a sudden at 10:01, I'm going to die from coronavirus. And
it's all gestures and signaling. That's like just, and again, so you close down all the small businesses. You send everybody to Walmart where they're exposed to the germs of thousands of people who they wouldn't have otherwise come in contact with. How do you know that's not making it worse? And we do know, like, people have looked at the data. The lockdowns, if anything, they made it worse. There's no evidence.
You're more likely to get it in your home than you are any place else.
Why isn't anybody saying, like, I go to the supermarket and there's like, because of governor's orders, you have to wear a mask. And I'm not wearing one. I say, the governor can't order me to, what if he orders me to like, to like wear an enema thing every day, like in public, like is, for my health, do I have to do that too? He has no authority to do any of this.
Yeah.
Why is this, why, I mean, this is what's really frightening about it. It's like America's dead. It was like founded on the individual liberty. That's like, that's our whole thing.
Gone.
And like, dead, like nobody's saying, like people constantly say to me, well, the governor, there's a law. And I'm like, no, there's
no law.
There's like some insane bureaucrat authoritarian guy declaring stuff. People need to say, you know what? Even if this virus is deadly, we're not wearing your damn mask because you have no business ordering us. We're not going to, like, they. It's funny when there's a war, it's always Ben Franklin said, if those who trade security for
liberty.
For liberty lose both. But when it's like with this, and when it's a chance to get Trump, and like, and I don't even think it's just Trump. I think these people think we deserve to be punished because we elected Trump. Yes. I think there's like a very basic, it's not even results driven. They want to see us suffer. They want to see us.
But I'm starting to get mad at Trump. When he canceled the Jacksonville one, so we got to say.
Oh my God, I was so mad. The Republican parties, they voted to take down the Confederate statues. I couldn't. Yeah. So how do you, I'm sorry, slavery was not a Confederacy thing. It was the United States of America thing. Like, if you want to, like, if you really want to, this is your attitude. Washington has to come down. Right. Jefferson has to come down. Every single statue of anybody before the Civil War has to come down.
Every Democrat after the Civil War, because the Democrat was a slavist. That party was the slave party.
Hey,
and I think it was 80, including Steve Scalise voted to pull that imbecile Dan Crenshaw. Like, I'm sorry, he's like John McCain. Like back from the grave to haunt us.
Michael, we gotta go. Where can people? You got something coming out on Red State?
Oh yeah, I got. I have a column today, and one coming out at 7 at Red State, redstate.com. I also have tons of COVID stuff there, tons of columns, and I have 1-7. And my site, aclearerpicture.net, has everything I do.
All right.
You are great.
Don't go crazy on us. It's rough.
I want to let folks know ColoradoCitizenPress.com is sponsored. So is Denver Synergetics.
And we'll have a long thing on Denver Synergetics on Monday.
Synergetics.com. Thank you to the guys at BBS Radio, Doug, Don, and Thomas. Please, if you haven't yet, check out our YouTube channel. You can just go to ChuckandJulia.com. It'll send you everywhere you need to go. Follow us on Twitter. We're almost at 1,000 Twitter people. So that's ChuckandJulie1 on Twitter. Facebook, check out our website. And again, you can catch all the podcast and listen live. That'll wrap it up for us today. Monday, I've got an investigative piece coming out. Wait till you hear what happened to a young man who had the audacity to wear a Trump t-shirt.
Yeah.
You're going to want to hear that. I think he's going to be on Peter Boyle's in the morning there too. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Take care and hang in there.